Rabbi Dr. Natan Slifkin is with us live via telephone. He is founder and director of the Biblical Museum of Natural History. It's in Beit Shemesh, Israel. I cannot recommend it highly enough. I hope everybody in this audience at some point gets an opportunity to visit there. They have another incredible biblical feast coming up on Monday, October the 14th. And many, many listeners who are tuned in right now will, in fact, be in Israel Monday, October the 14th. So you may want to register and check this out. The Biblical Feast 2024 is entitled Legends from the Sea. Rabbi Dr. Natan Slifkin, a pleasure to welcome you back to JM in the AM.
Hi, great to be back on with you.
So why the focus on our friends from the sea this time around? I would guess that there are many different categories of exotic animals that you have explored and could continue to explore. Why are we heading to those that are water-based this time around?
Well, if we wanted to serve all the exotic things, there would be way too many courses that we divide upon menu. We have three different menus. We have our biblical menu. We have our menu of things that are kosher, that are not biblical, but which are kosher and exotic. And then we have our aquatic menu. So we alternate between them. And this year, it's the turn of the our legends from the sea.
Now, the general rule, Rabbi Slifkin, the general rule is that any fish, and I would assume any sea creature, you could tell me if I'm right or wrong, you know a lot more about this topic, that in fact has fins and scales would be eligible to be eaten for those of us who keep kosher. Is it way beyond that, or is it simply just determining which creatures have those two features?
So it's a little bit more than that. In some cases, it's determining which creatures have that. And, there's been disputes about some of them. We could talk about those controversial fish.
Sure.
But we're broadening it a little bit more to include other legends from sea. There's actually a phlegic category which comes under the heading of legends from the sea. And that is when the Bnei Israel were leaving Egypt, and it says a wind blew over Slavim from the sea.
Right.
So some of the commentaries say that refers to a bird that comes from the sea, and that maybe, according to some commentaries, has the taste of something from the sea. But it's phlegic. It's a bird. And two different views as to what that bird is. That's going to be a phlegic. Those two birds are going to be a phlegic item on our menu.
Unbelievable. And do we know how to refer to those in the vernacular? Like, is there, in fact...
Well, yeah, I was just like, waving back and forth in my mind with this question, because sometimes we like to keep the menu secret, and sometimes we decide to announce it in advance. So I'm wavering on that one. I'm going to keep those two close to my chest for now.
I can
tell you about the fish.
Yeah.
I can tell you about the fish. I'll tell you the two highlights in the fish category,
sure.
Two controversial highlights. So one of them is going to be the lionfish. You know what a lionfish is?
Yeah, I think I've seen lionfish, yeah.
Yeah, so it's the ones that are very striking. All these, spines and spikes coming off them.
Right,
yeah, bright red and orange and white.
Correct.
And they're actually very, very venomous. And we're going to be, they're kosher. They have fins and scales. People don't realize that, but they are kosher. And we're going to be serving lionfish.
There's actually, I think that's the picture that you feature on the invitation, right? I think that's the picture you're featuring.
That's correct. That's a lionfish.
Apparently,
if you cut off the venomous spines, it's perfectly fine to eat. And even the venomous spines themselves, if you bake them, it neutralizes the venom. And you can use them as toothpicks.
And that's pretty funny. And the question always is it worthwhile? Because there have been over the years, and I could give some examples in my lifetime of animals that were not commonly either regarded as kosher or found to be difficult to prepare as kosher. And then, we would taste them eventually when everything was done. And, we weighed whether, in fact, it was worth the whole pachka, as we say, to go ahead and get to that finish line. For instance, a lionfish, do we know if it's very tasty? You've probably had it before. Is it very tasty and very worthwhile to go through all the trouble you just described?
Right, so I have not had lionfish yet. I have heard that it is absolutely delicious.
Oh, wow.
And our chef for the event is Moshe Basson, who's a very famous chef from Jerusalem. He just published a book, and he's very well regarded for being able to do extraordinary things with food.
What's the second one, by the way? You said there were two you'd give an example of today. What's the second one?
Yeah, so the second one is swordfish, which a lot of people assume is not kosher. And a lot of people, you know, believe it's not kosher. But in fact, Jews have been eating swordfish for thousands of years. It's very, very clear. And and the Achronim speak about it, and even the Gemara. The Gemara speaks about a swordfish. And the question is, if you look at the swordfish, you don't seem to see any scales. But as the Gemara says, it has scales, but it loses them. And in fact, our swordfish, I've got about 20 feet away from me right now, I have a gigantic freezer, and inside that is a 6-foot swordfish.
Wow.
And I found the scales. You look for it, you can find the scales. And there have been plenty of halachic authorities who have examined swordfish and who also likewise have found the scales. The scales are very hard to find, really, really hard to find, but you can find them. I found 5 scales on our swordfish.
Wow.
And yes, that's why Jews have been eating it for thousands of years.
And Rabbi Slifkin, you're not originally from the United States, but I will tell you that as a kid, I remember there being quite a controversy when a kosher hotel with a responsible mashgiach, a responsible Rav HaMachshir here in New York, wanted to serve swordfish, and it became like the symbol of whether one goes to that hotel or not. So there, it seems that that controversy that you cite from, you know, the past many centuries has lasted all the way until now.
And Ono says, I just want to clarify, it's not controversial. For many centuries, it was completely uncontroversial.
Right.
It was only in the early 20th century, the Agudas Harabonim had it listed as a kosher fish. It's only in the mid-20th century that it became controversial.
Understood. And I stand corrected. Rabbi Dr. Nathan Slifkin is with us. In addition to the event on October the 14th, when you could actually be part of all of this at the museum in Beit Shemesh, we encourage everybody not only to visit the museum, but certainly to support the incredible work. If you've ever been there, you know exactly what I'm referring to, about just how incredible it is and how many members of our youth in Israel and visitors from outside of Israel, and of course adults as well, enjoy it on a daily basis. BiblicalNaturalHistory.org. BiblicalNaturalHistory.org. And that gets you information about the Biblical Museum of Natural History and the event coming up on October the 14th. And in addition to that, obviously general information as well, and opportunities to donate and support the incredible cause. You're doing this at this time, I would assume, because you're expecting both people from Israel and from outside of Israel to be in Israel on October the 14th. And generally, Rabbi Slifkin, are there plenty of tourists and visitors who come to these events with you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. That's why we picked the time, you know, to maximize the crowd from America. I just want to mention, you know, this Shabbat Parshas Ra'eh, the laws of kosher animals. And on our website, when you mentioned biblicalnaturalhistory.org, we also have a knowledge base there. And it has a whole article about swordfish with pictures, with video of showing its scales. And we also have articles about other interesting kosher things like locusts. So that's all available on our knowledge base on the website.
Yeah, and kosher locusts are also available in your gift shop, as much as that might make some people cringe when they hear it. Finally, Rabbi Slifkin, we've had the opportunity to hear you wax philosophic on these airwaves. A couple of questions I've asked you over the years have garnered some incredible answers. I'm wondering philosophically what you think of the entire topic of kashrus. There are those who always surmise of why God, in fact, implemented these laws for us and ask that we follow a strict regimen about what to eat, how to eat, how long to wait to eat for what, etc., etc. And obviously, kashrus controls, for those who are halachically inclined, controls a tremendous amount of our daily schedule. And again, anybody tuned in is familiar with what I mean. I think the most common observation has always been that this limits our interaction with others. Do you have any other philosophical outlook on these laws of kashrut that we are reading about this week and other weeks in our Torah?
Yeah, so I've given this a lot of thought. What seems to me is that the way people make a mistake is that they look for a single explanation that would explain why every kosher animal is kosher and every non-kosher animal is not kosher. And you get stuck. But what happens, what the answer is that there's two layers of explanation. There's the first level, which is why there should be such a concept as kashrut, that we'd be allowed to eat some things and not other. And then there's a second layer discussing, you know, given that there should be some animals that we can't eat, which should those animals be? And when you break it down that way, then it becomes much more understandable. Because with regard to the first question, you know, why should be such a thing as kashrut? So the Torah is absolutely explicit about it. The Torah says the reason very clearly. The Torah says that it's about the Jewish people being kadosh, being sanctified to God, which means being separate, having a separate identity from the nations. It says, "Va'avdel etchem min ha'amim," and that's said in the context of kashrut, that we have, that we get a unique cultural identity. It's not just not mixing with non-Jews, you know, like you mentioned. It's more than that. It's having, you know, a specific diet. That Jews cannot eat whatever they want, that they have a specific diet, gives us a unique identity. And then with regard to the question, okay, so which things are we going to be allowed and not to eat, to eat and not to eat, then there could be separate explanations depending on the animal. In some cases, it could be that these are animals that are prevalently eaten by other nations in this part of the world, and therefore the Torah does not want us to eat them, like camels, hares, hyraxes, and pigs. Right? It gives us a unique cultural identity that we don't eat those animals. And in other cases, it could be because they're considered disgusting. Like with the insects, the Torah says that the insects are considered to be disgusting. So that's why you have, you know, different explanations as to which creatures would not be kosher.
Phenomenal. I absolutely love it. And as I've said to you on more than one occasion, the museum is incredible because you think, as a casual observer of kashrus rules, I wouldn't say casual observer of kashrus. We all, thank God, are 100% observers of kashrus. But as casual observers of kashrus rules, your museum does an incredible job in revealing so much about the true essence of kosher animals, and of kosher practice. And for that, we are eternally grateful. And it's for that reason, everybody, that we're highly recommending to go to the website, biblicalnaturalhistory.org, biblicalnaturalhistory.org. Check out the event and register. It's in Israel, in Beit Shemesh, in the museum on Monday, October the 14th, in support of Rabbi Slifkin's incredible efforts. Plus, Rabbi Slifkin, the museum, thank God, has remained open and has been very helpful, frankly, to members of the community in Israel, especially the youth who sometimes need a distraction from what's been happening over the last almost 1 year. And you yourself have family members who are in the army, and obviously you and our brothers and sisters are under constant rocket attacks, including what's been happening this past week. So we are thinking of you and praying for you from thousands of miles away, and really appreciate the fact that you're able to move forward and continue with great strength all of your efforts through these very sensitive times. So kol hakavod and good luck with the event, my friend.
Thank you very, very much.
Much appreciated. Rabbi Dr. Natan Slifkin, he is the founder and director of the Biblical Museum of Natural History. Check it all out online, biblicalnaturalhistory.org. And we can't recommend it enough when you get to Israel. More coming up. It's Monday. It's JM in the AM.